morning session of the Portland City Council. Carla, please call the roll.
Hardesty, Udaly, Fritz.
Here.
Wheeler.
Here. And Commissioner Hardesty is, of course, excused today. Under Portland City Code and state law, the City Council is holding this meeting electronically. All members of the Council are attending remotely by video and teleconference, and the City has made several avenues available for the public to listen to the audio broadcast of this meeting. The meeting is available to the public on the City's YouTube channel, eGovPDX, www.portlandoregon.gov/video, and Channel 30. The public can also provide written testimony to Council by emailing the Council Clerk at cctestimony@portlandoregon.gov. The Council is taking these steps, of course, as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic and the need to limit in-person contact and promote physical distancing. The pandemic is an emergency that threatens the public health, safety, and welfare, which requires us to meet remotely by electronic communications. Thank you all for your patience, your flexibility, your continued understanding as we manage through this difficult situation to do the City's business. And colleagues, today, sports is front and center. Portland sports is front and center. We are going to be acknowledging the Timbers shortly. I also just want to give a shout out to the Portland Trailblazers for an outstanding game last night. And all of us should be proud of their performance in the playoff game last night. First up, Carla, is communications.
Mayor, would you like to read the rules?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I forgot about that. Just when we were having fun, too. Robert, could you please read the rules of order and decorum?
Yes, Mayor. And then just to confirm the quorum, is Commissioner Udaly, it looks like she's on the line. Is she there?
Yep, I'm here.
Yeah, I see her.
Great, thank you. To participate in council meetings, you may sign up in advance with the council clerk's office for communications to briefly speak about any subject. You may also sign up for public testimony on resolutions or the first readings of ordinances. The published council agenda at portlandoregon.gov/auditor contains information about how and when you may sign up for testimony while the City Council is holding electronic meetings. Your testimony should address the matter being considered at the time. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Please disclose if you are a lobbyist. If you are representing an organization, please identify it. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. When your time is up, the presiding officer will ask you to conclude. Disruptive conduct such as shouting, refusing to conclude your testimony when your time is up, or interrupting others' testimony or council deliberations will not be allowed. If there are disruptions, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being placed on hold or ejected from the remainder of the electronic meeting. Finally, please be aware that all council meetings are recorded. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And with that, Carla, communications.
Item 666, request of Susan Cotter to address council regarding the Portland Police Bureau violence.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yep, you're good to go.
Excellent. I would like to...
Susan, you're muted again. Sorry. Can you unmute? Susan, we can't hear you. Can you, if you're on your phone, can you do *6, see if that works? If on your computer, if you scroll down to the lower corner, either on the right or the left, you'll see the mute. There you go.
Okay.
There you are.
Okay. Now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah, now we can hear you. Susan, can you start all over again? We didn't hear the first part.
Yeah, the first part was I'm trying to show my screen. Okay, host disabled participating screen sharing. Can anybody hear me?
Keelan, are you the host?
Yes. So you should, let me see here.
Yeah, when I hit the screen share button, Okay. Oh, now I'm letting
you. There we go.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, Mayor Wheeler, Commissioner Udaly, Fritz, and Hardesty for this opportunity to speak to you. My name is Susan Cotter. I use she, her pronouns, and I live in North Portland. Show your work. It's a phrase I heard from math teachers all the time as a kid and valued the concept as a math tutor many years ago. It is through showing your work that your grasp of the material can truly be evaluated. I'm here to ask City of Portland to show its work. I need to see that you grasp the material. Routine public statements reflect PPB's disagreement with being characterized as misbehaving, highlighting the expanse that we have yet to traverse. I want to an explanation on how the City of Portland is protecting Portlanders from the city's police. I've spent weeks researching, attending committee, council, and community engagement meetings, reading the DOG settlement agreement with the city, visiting community-based organization websites, and poring over pages and pages of the City of Portland website to understand the history and current efforts that have brought us to this horrible place where we still have police violence against its community members. My conclusion, there are various efforts, some with questionable expertise, documented to various degrees, and communicated by coordinated by seemingly no one. Oops. When we see this timeline of PPB misbehavior, we see this is nothing new and didn't start with George Floyd's death or the Black Lives Matter protests in Portland. You've had some time to work this issue. The buck stops with you, the City Council. You owe us an explanation of what you're doing in the short term to protect Portland from PPB beyond discussing future police labor agreements and accountability ballot measures. And don't tell me that the independent police review will guide us to justice. The director was clear on OPR that they are not independent. Has anything been done to correct the roadblock to IPR independence? And don't tell me that the compliance officer and community liaison, a costly, ineffective watchdog for the settlement agreement, is here to help. Rosenbaum and Associates hired January 2015 to synthesize data related to PPP use of force and gather public input on PPP compliance, no longer has the expertise on which the city relied when making its hiring decision and is now acting more as an old school policing PPP stenographer than providing professional cutting edge policing reform assistance to the city. Who in the city is managing this contract and holding our compliance officer and community liaison to account? Don't tell me further budget cuts aren't warranted despite this misbehaving. Portland spent a higher percentage of its general fund on policing than many large cities. I've been told that making overall police funding contingent on PPB's cooperation and participation in community accountability efforts would be considered unfair labor practices of all things. Who in the city is working to propose a PPB budget that achieves policing value?
That's 3 minutes.
This is my last slide. Would you be willing to let me finish?
Yeah, go ahead and finish up your last slide here. We're a little ahead of schedule.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Over and over, you've received testimony that your work is insufficient. Come on. You owe Portland an explanation. Frankly, you owe us an explanation of your response and progress to racial and social inequity issues, but let's start with policing. Everyone in Portland should know the policing reform plan, follow its progress, and know where, when, and how to contribute to its evolution and evaluation. Right now, it's scattered, uncoordinated, and ineffectively managed. Portland City Council needs to hold itself accountable to us and show us your work. With no justice, there is no peace. Black Lives Matter. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. And I want to appreciate what you just said about there being a fragmentation in the process. In fact, many of the issues you raised are already being addressed, but you're right. There's multiple boards, commissions, committees, groups, organizations working on these things. And I do believe, Susan, one way we can be helpful is to create some sort of a centralized process whereby ordinary folk who want to be engaged, like you obviously do, can plug in to that work. And so I appreciate your bringing that to our attention today. I think
it's and the work needs to be summarized too, because, you know, I've been plugging in lots of places and, you know, it's scattered.
It is inherently, you know, we have the Portland Committee on Community Engaged Policing. We have the Citizen Review Commission. We have, as you note, the U.S. Department of Justice settlement agreement, which has its own process associated with it. The city council is engaged in a number of processes. My own office, in my capacity as the police commissioner, we have engaged in various reforms. So it is right now a little bit scattered. And I agree with you that some sort of a centralized way of communicating and receiving feedback and engaging the public would be extremely helpful at this point. So thank you for your testimony today, and thank you for your research. Appreciate it. So, Carla, we're ahead by 3 minutes. Why don't we move on? I'm sorry. I forgot the other names on the list. I believe they're not showing up, but you have to read them. Read them
correct.
Slowly. We have 3 minutes to go.
Okay. 667, request of Marie Tyvall to address council regarding Southwest Neighborhoods, Inc. and ordinance number 190044 for grant agreements to support neighborhood associations. She informed us she will not be speaking today.
All right, thank you.
668, request of Carol Porteau to address council regarding Southwest Neighborhoods, Inc. and ordinance number 190044, agreements to support neighborhood associations. She informed us she will not be speaking either. And 669, request of Marilee Carr to address council regarding Southwest Neighborhoods, Inc. and ordinance number 190044 for grant agreements to support neighborhood associations. She will not be speaking today.
All right, very good. So why don't
one more? Sorry,
oh, another. Sorry.
Yeah, you said slow, so I was
going. I did. No, you need to read the next one very slowly.
Okay, that would be 670. Request of Catherine Daly to address council regarding Southwest Neighborhoods, Inc. and ordinance number 190044 for grant agreements to support neighborhood associations.
Thank you, Carla. I appreciate that. And I see Commissioner Fritz has a question, and I'm sure her question will take at least 1 minute for us to answer. Commissioner Fritz.
Hi. Thank you, Mayor. I just need to appreciate Carla more, love. That was not only entertaining, very skillfully done, and made me smile to start the session. So you're going to be retiring fairly soon, and I want to state on the record again how very much I appreciate all of your service and your intelligence in serving the city and the people of Portland. Thank you, Carla.
Oh, you're welcome, Commissioner. Thank you. And I think I missed one more. I've got 670.
Oh, well, please, go ahead.
670, request of Catherine Daly to address council regarding Southwest Neighborhoods, Inc. and ordinance number 190044 for grant agreements to support neighborhood associations.
Very good. Thank you, Carly. Sure. None of the individuals are present, I take it?
Correct. They all informed us they would not be speaking.
All right. Very, very good. We'll look forward to hearing from them later. It is now 9:45. We are in compliance with council rules on our first time certain item today. Carla, could you please read item 671?
Yes. Proclaim August 23 to 29 as Timbers and Thorns FC Stand Together Week.
Colleagues, Stand Together Week is the Portland Timbers and Thorns FC's annual week of service to promote volunteerism and civic engagement here in the city of Portland. This year will be their ninth annual week of service. Since 2012, Stand Together Week has mobilized 6,375 volunteers to provide the Portland metro area with 20,842 hours of service at more than 258 events benefiting youth and the environment. Nonprofits served include Active Children in Portland, the Children's Book Bank, Growing Gardens, Harper's Playground, and the Virginia Garcia Memorial Health Foundation, amongst many, many others. To learn more about Stand Together Week, I'd like to introduce our representatives from the Timbers and Thorns FC organization. We have Caitlin Jones, the Community Impact Manager. Good morning, Caitlin. It's good to see you. We have Blair Nealens, the Sustainability and Outreach Coordinator. Good morning, Blair. Jack Jewsbury, who's the Business Development Director. And of course, Timber Joey, who's unmistakable. Good morning. And thank you all for being here, and we'll let you take it away from here.
Brilliant. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and all of the council. Stand Together Week is the Portland Timbers and Thorns FC annual week of service to promote volunteerism and civic engagement. We are proud to coordinate our ninth annual week of service this year. And during the current pandemic, volunteers are more important than ever for our local organizations. A recent report by the Nonprofit Association of Oregon showed that 73% of nonprofits have seen a decrease in volunteer hours. It is vital to the health of our communities that we stand together to help support local families and the work of these amazing organizations.
This year, we had to reimagine Stand Together Week to include activities available for individual support and virtual volunteering, along with our standard in-person volunteer projects. No matter how big or small, the simple act of volunteering and assisting local organizations will make a huge impact.
The in-person volunteer opportunities affiliated with Stand Together Week include building homes, creating school gardens, restoring local parks, harvesting fruit, sprucing up Boys and Girls Club centers, and more. Our individual support and virtual volunteering opportunities include donating blood, certifying your backyard with the Audubon Society, replenishing your neighborhood little library, providing new books for the Children's Book Bank's A Story Like Mine program, creating and donating blankets, and a lot more.
This year, we're excited to have so many opportunities for the community to engage with all of our local nonprofits. We are excited to be serving so many this year that are in need of so much help. And there's really something for everyone and everyone's comfort levels with the current pandemic. We're excited to see everyone joining in and encourage people to share on social media using the hashtag STWeek. And you can learn more and register for your own project, whether virtual or in person, at timbers.com/stand-together. Thank you.
Thank you, Caitlin. All right, does that conclude your remarks?
Yep, that's all we have today.
All right, very good. So, colleagues, what I'd like to do is read a brief statement, and then I would like to read the proclamation that I have, and I believe Commissioner Fritz has the original proclamation. Then I will let Commissioner Udaly speak, and then I'll let Commissioner Fritz close us out. And she is our longest serving, die-hardest soccer fan. And so I think it's appropriate that we let her close it out. So first of all, I just want to say in years past, the biggest soccer fan on the council, other than Commissioner Fritz, of course, was our late great friend, Commissioner Fish. He was the one who originally led this effort, and I want to thank him and his staff for doing so and continuing this. I want to thank Commissioner Fritz for her willingness to bring this to the council this year. And I think one of my greatest memories of Commissioner Fritz will always be the day she put on scarf after scarf after scarf, showing that she's been a lifelong diehard fan of the sport. And the enthusiasm that she's brought to City Hall along with Commissioner Fish has just been fantastic. I vow to bring this back next year, Commissioner Fritz, since I know you're going to ask me. And so we'll make sure that that happens. I also want to thank the organization for reimagining what Stand Together Week will look like this year. The council really appreciates that you included activities for individual support and virtual volunteering, along with your standard in-person volunteer projects. No matter how big or small, the simple act of volunteering and assisting local organizations makes a huge impact. And a thing I love about the Timbers and the Thorns is while you are all so dedicated and passionate about this sport, you never forget where you are from. And you continue to serve this community year after year. And we're all so proud of you. And so on behalf of the council, I'll read the proclamation. This is a statement on behalf of the city council and by extension, the entire city of Portland. Whereas the city of Portland is proud to be home to the Portland Timbers and Portland Thorns FC, our professional soccer teams. And whereas the Timbers and Thorns are committed to giving back to our community and promoting civic engagement through their community platform, Stand Together. And whereas the City of Portland is proud to partner with the Timbers and Thorns in organizing the 9th anniversary of Stand Together Week, a week of community service from August 23rd through August 29th, 2020. And whereas approximately 500 Stand Together volunteers, including Timbers and Thorns players, the Timbers Army, Rose City Riveters, coaches, ambassadors, front office staff, sponsors, and community members will come together for a week of service. And whereas Stand Together volunteers will participate in over 20 community events and projects throughout Portland, benefiting over 15 local nonprofit organizations. And whereas community service projects will include building homes, restoring local parks, sprucing up one of our children's centers, beautifying school gardens, and providing meals for local communities of need. And whereas Stand Together will support local mission-driven nonprofits, including Harper's Playground, Grow Portland, Virginia Garcia Memorial Health Center, Solve, the Boys and Girls Club, Project Lemonade, and Habitat for Humanity, amongst others. And whereas Stand Together Week is a call to action by the city, the Timbers, the Portland Thorns, FC, and our community partners to inspire and give back through community service. Now, therefore, I, Ted Wheeler, the mayor of the city of Portland, Oregon, the city of Roses, do hereby proclaim August 23rd to 29th, 2020, as Timbers and Thorns FC Stand Together Week and encourage all residents to recognize and join in this week of service to our community. Thank you all for your continued dedication and leadership. And with that, I'll turn it over to Commissioner Udaly. If you have remarks, then Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. I know that both you and Commissioner Fritz are proud members of the Timber Army, and I'm so pleased that we're here today to celebrate the Portland Timbers and Thorns. Stand Together Week represents the best of Portland, our commitment to community, and our willingness to give back. So congratulations to the Timbers and Thorns. Thank you, and thank you to every Stand Together Week nonprofit partner for your dedication to Portland. I'm looking forward to seeing the results of next week's community service projects. And that's it. I'm a little under the weather today, so I'm not turning my video on.
I'm sorry to hear that, Commissioner Udaly. Yeah. Thank you for your remarks. Commissioner Fritz.
Yes, thanks for being here anyway, Commissioner Udaly, because without you, we wouldn't have a quorum. So I hope you feel better soon. I'm feeling quite emotional about this. You know, sports isn't life, but it's like life. And when you're watching sports, you can sometimes forget about some of the other things that are going on in life and just concentrate on the game. And certainly some members of the council have been slammed for following the Blazers or just enjoying sports at a time when we've got the pandemic and the Black Lives Matter movement and so much unrest in our city. And yet, thank you. And thank you, Commissioner Fish. I think one of the last times I saw Nick was one of the happiest times when he brought the Women's World Cup champions into his office and we did the proclamation in council. And he was just in his element. And he so appreciated, especially the women's game, because of his daughter Maria playing. And now his son plays as well. And soccer's a great game. I've been watching it since I was 5 years old and I'm 62 now. And it brings people together. And so I'm very honored that the Timbers and Thorns organization reached out to my office because Commissioner Fish is no longer here to bring the proclamation. Thank you, Yesenia Carrillo, on my team, for her support and her great work and her enthusiasm about soccer as well. Thanks to Kayla Chambers, who has been my representative as a season ticket holder and who's going to be leading the organization. Also Mike Golub, who does a lot of work behind the scenes and does so many good things in our community, serving on boards and commissions and being a leader. You know, that's another of the great things about soccer. And it's good to see Jack Dewsbury having had a great career playing. And my daughter and I and my sons really enjoyed watching you. And now you're behind in the back office and doing great work there. And so we thank you for that, too. Thanks for the Thorns and with their fabulous fight in the NWSL Challenge Cup. You know, Mayor Wheeler, you celebrated the win over the Lakers last night. Beating the Courage is the same thing for us women's soccer fans. And so, you know, we didn't win the cup, but the eighth seed beat the first seed just like last night. And Bella Bixby is going to be yet another of the fantastic goalkeepers that Nadine Angara has been training. And again, another player who came to Portland from Germany and wanted to stay and is now part of the organization. So thanks to Merritt Paulson and the Timbers Army and all of the people who advocated for bringing MLS to Portland. Commissioner Fish and I both voted against that. And that, I think both of us, that was the best being wrong vote or best time that a majority ruled and gave us that a lot of pleasure in watching the games. And so I also very impressed with the Timbers winning the MLS's back tournament. A bit confused actually as to why we have a tournament and then we have a league and then we have another tournament, but whatever, you get to watch more football, so it's all good. Thanks Timber Joey. I still think you should be wearing goggles when you're doing the sawing, but and I realize that might not look so macho, but and thank you
If you watch the most recent games, we've started wearing them.
Oh, that's brilliant. I didn't notice.
It was only a matter of time before OSHA caught up with him.
Well, apparently the old woman nagging has done some good as well. So that is really fabulous. Even better. You know, this and better will do. And the way... I don't think there's another team like this in the world, another pair of teams like this in the world with the supporters and the Rose City Riveters and the Timbers Army and the good that they do year round. Every single week, they have a drive to collect community service needs to give to deserving organizations and individuals. So this is not a once this isn't a single thing that happens just once a year. They do things all through the year. They've been supportive of the Parks Bureau and helping with the Parks Foundation's annual event. Just so many things. You're integral part of this community, and I really appreciate all that you've done. We do encourage Portlanders who might be wanting to contribute to this and to join this great movement, because it's a social movement as well as a soccer movement. If you want to, you can go to the www.timbers.com, stand together, just you'll find it very easily. Or you can call 503-553-5400. So again, thank you very much to everybody. And thank you, Mayor Wheeler, for giving me the honor of closing this out. As you can tell, it's very special to me, and it's been, I'm glad to do it on my last year in the council. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. Very well said. And I really appreciate what you just said about this being a challenging time with COVID, with civil rights being front and center, and all of us trying to close the inequities we see in our community with the economic dislocation so many people are feeling. It's sports that's bringing us together. It's sports that's holding us together. And it's sports that ultimately in this moment is reminding us that there are things we can look forward to, and there are things we can be positive about. And the fact that this organization and you, Commissioner Fritz, personally have made that commitment to continue to serve the community, that's really what's going to hold us together and see us through these really challenging times. So thank you all for being here from the Timbers, from Thorns FC. Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. Thank you, Commissioner Daly. And we'll look forward to seeing you out there. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Carla, next up on the regular agenda is item 672, please.
Nominate Ray Leary to the Metropolitan Exposition and Recreation Commission to fill a City of Portland position for a new term ending September
25, 2024. Awesome. Thank you. Colleagues, Mr. Leary has served on the commission since 2004, so he is certainly well familiar with this. He's represented the city's interests very well since that time. Mr. Leary is a recognized and well-respected leader in the Northeast Portland community, and he brings that context to the MERC Commission. Mr. Leary was planning to step down this year, but has offered to stay on to see MERC through the COVID-19 crisis. We're really appreciative of that. MERC and the venues are experiencing arguably unprecedented financial distress in the absence of events to generate any revenue. So it would be particularly challenging at this time for a new commissioner to step in. Mr. Leary, with his many years of experience, community connections, and steadfast dedication to improving our city, will be an invaluable member of the commission as the commission continues to provide oversight during this extremely challenging time. And we have Carl Lyle here to answer any questions that any of us may have, but I would strongly encourage us to approve this appointment. Good morning, Carl. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm doing fine, Mayor. Thank
Great.
You.
Glad to hear it. Colleagues, any questions of Carl? Otherwise, then I will call on us to vote on the resolution.
Mayor, I believe we have one person who signed up because of this resolution.
I apologize. Who is that? I apologize.
I show Grady Preston II.
Grady, are you with us?
Yes. Hello.
All right. You're good to go. Sorry about that.
Hi. Thank you all for your time. This testimony is more generic about city council and the way that they interact with their employees in general. It's not specifically about this specific employee, so please bear with me, but thank you for allowing me to provide some testimony here today. I wanted to start off just by thanking Commissioner Joanne Hardesty and her team for their continued pressure on PPB to do the right thing. Thank you. I see you're not here today, but thank you again. Next, I wanted to speak directly to the mayor about the actions of his employees specifically. Mayor Ted Wheeler.
Grady, I'm not opposed to criticism or accountability, but is this related to the appointment that we're discussing now? Because as you heard right up front, the council rules, which were read by legal counsel, require the testimony be relevant to the item that's under discussion. And what's under discussion right now is an appointment to the MERC Commission. Do you have comments germane to that appointment?
I do not.
Could I suggest you do the following then? You know what? Actually, I'm in a good mood today. I will make an exception. We have a light schedule, but in the future, please make sure the testimony is germane. Go ahead. You have 2 minutes.
Thank you. Yes. So my testimony here, so Mayor Ted Wheeler, thank you for allowing me to speak, even if it isn't specifically about this item. I ask you to immediately fire Chief Charles Lavelle. That was mainly the reason I wanted to speak today. His inability to admit that his officers have ever made mistakes and refusal to accept responsibility for the escalating violence every single night is dangerous. We cannot have a police chief who says the continued attacks against our community members are acceptable everyday practices. As someone who has been out on the streets personally, just trying to be a peaceful protester, it is a very harrowing experience just trying to make your voice heard, walking through the neighborhood streets and see them being filled with tear gas. It's not something I thought I would ever experience in my life, and definitely not something I thought I would experience in Portland. I will go ahead and leave my testimony at that. Thank you so much for your time, and have a great day. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Grady. And just I want you to know, since I've spent a lot of time with the chief, and I've been in press conferences with the chief and events with the chief, I believe he has said that there have been decisions that in retrospect were not the right decisions. I believe I've heard him say that the police bureau is an evolving organization, and as they learn from those experiences, they change their tactics and their procedures. So I want to be clear, I don't believe he has either refused to say that the police bureau has made mistakes. Certainly they have over the course of nearly 3 months of nightly demonstrations. Nor have I heard him saying that he would refuse to change the organization as a result of that. I know him to be somebody who is open-minded, and he is open to different strategies that can help us de-escalate the situation and protect the First Amendment rights of people to do what you say you are doing, which is demonstrating peacefully. I hope we can all agree we support that. So thank you for coming to testifying today. Carla, please call the roll on the resolution.
Hugh Daly.
Thank you for your continued willingness to serve. Aye.
Fritz.
Yeah, thank you. This is important, and the Exposition Center and other places are really having a challenging time. So we need your experience. Aye.
Wheeler.
Well, we need Mr. Leary. That's the bottom line. And I don't know how we arm twisted him to stick around for a little while. He's been with us an awfully long time, and his experience has been tremendously important, and his perspective with regard to the importance of these public venues and his willingness to work with us and make sure that they will survive the economic slowdown and the pandemic and the physical distancing requirements. It's a tall order. It's going to take a ton of work, and we need people like this who are engaged and willing to serve. So thank you for your service, Mr. Leary. This is a very easy vote for me to take. I vote aye. The resolution is adopted, and the reappointment or the extension is approved. Thank you, sir, for your service. Next up, Carla, is item 673. It's a resolution.
Adopt home repair loan guidelines effective retroactively.
And let's see, here we go. In 2009, when the Portland Development Commission, that's what it was called back then, and the city's housing functions were consolidated to create the Portland Housing Bureau, the Portland Housing Bureau inherited all of the existing home repair loans, which were originated by the then Portland Development Commission. There are some loan products that created silent deferred payment loans with an accruing interest rates of between 3% and 5%. These loans, many of which are still outstanding, are resulting in low-income homeowners owing significantly more than some almost double, in some cases, what they initially borrowed. In 2015, the City Council adopted Resolution 37138, which reduced the interest rate to 0% and reduced the loan term to forgivable after 15 years. Aligning the loan terms across all Portland Housing Bureau home repair loans will relieve borrowers of this substantial financial burden and enhance equity and intergenerational wealth building capacity for these households, which aligns with the overall goals of the program. And so with that, we have representatives from the Housing Bureau here today. It looks like we have Diana Shepherd and Emma Deppa appear to be ready to go, and I'm not sure in which order. Good morning.
Good morning. I'll go ahead and start. Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Dana Shepherd with the Housing Bureau managing the Neighborhood Housing Program Preservation Team. And I have Emma Deppa, contract manager, who is also here to present and answer any questions as she led the efforts to get this here today. So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen with the presentation, if that's okay.
That's okay.
All right. Do you all see the presentation?
Can you shrink it a little bit? It doesn't quite fit into the screen.
All right.
I mean, if we have to do it, it'll work, but.
Is that better? I can also do some other options here.
Carla, how did we fix this last week? We had this thing going on. What did we do? Oh, there, I think that's good, right there, beautiful.
Okay, cool.
Good.
All right. We'll go ahead and get started. Again, Dana Shepherd with the Neighborhood Housing Program at the Portland Housing Bureau. And I'll just get started with a little bit of background information as to why we are here. So in 2009, the Portland Housing Center was created and inherited the home repair loans from PDC. Like you said, Mayor, at that time was PDC, is now Prosper Portland. And then those loans produced, those were silent deferred loans with 3-5% interest rates. At maturity, borrowers will owe almost twice of that. And so we have a couple of examples that Emma's going to speak about as far as those old loans that we are wishing to modify.
Yes, good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. For the record, my name is Emma Deppa. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm a housing program coordinator at the Portland Housing Bureau. On this slide, you can see two examples of the type of loans that we're seeking to restructure today through the resolution. In both cases, and in the case of the 64 other outstanding loans, the borrowers will owe nearly double of what they borrowed at maturity, creating an undue hardship for low to moderate income homeowners in Portland. And on the following slide, you can see a map of where these loans are distributed across the city of Portland and the homes that will be impacted by this resolution.
All right, so in 2015, City Council adopted Resolution 37138 for the home repair guidelines, which were more favorable terms, and those are at zero interest, 15-year maturity date, and eligible forgiveness at maturity. And so today we seek to retroactively apply the loan terms adopted in 2015 to the interest-bearing and deferred payment loans that we spoke about. The financial impact, we are talking about 66 loans altogether. The foregone revenue, $900,000 in principal balance and $800,000 estimated in interest at maturity. And then the maturity dates currently range from 2031 to 2040. And that concludes our presentation. Are there any questions?
Colleagues, any questions? Or Dana or Em?
I have just want a quick clarification. I just want to confirm the changes being brought forward today allow us to align our loans with our new framework that allows for no payment, no interest, and forgivable loans.
That is correct.
That's fantastic. Thank you for bringing forward this change. I really appreciate the work to recognize racial disparities and in loans versus grants, and I'm very supportive of this.
You.
Very good. Thank you. With that, Carla's a resolution. Do we have any public testimony on this item?
No one registered to speak.
All right. Very good. With that, call the roll.
You, Daly.
Thank you again for this work. I vote aye.
Fritz.
Thank you for the work and for the very clear presentation. Aye.
Wheeler.
I appreciate this flexibility in bringing some modification to the previous loans. They're now consistent with our current home loan program. This is obviously going to help prevent people from being displaced. It will allow them to continue to live in thriving and healthy environments. As I indicated up front, this is still one of the best ways for people to create intergenerational wealth in our community. And so I think it's good thinking. Great job to you, both Dana and Emma. This is exactly the kind of innovation and thinking we need to do. And I've always said debt can be sexy. That's something I believed when I was the state treasurer. This is just one more example of just how sexy debt can be. With that, I vote aye. The resolution is adopted. Thank you both for your work. That leaves us with our final item this morning.
Thank you.
It's Treasury Daily 674. Carla, if you could read that.
Assess benefited properties for street, sidewalk, stormwater, water main, and sanitary sewer improvements in the Southwest 45th Avenue and California Street Local Improvement District.
Commissioner Daly, my notes suggest you might want to reschedule this. Is that right or not?
Yes. Thank you, Mayor. I want to continue this item and reschedule it for a future date. So, Carla, we'll work with you to reschedule once we're ready.
Certainly.
Thank you.
All right. Good. Thanks, everybody. Carla, that completes the agenda, correct?
Correct, Mayor.
All right. We are adjourned. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.